This conference is being recorded.
Hello, did someone else just click on? Oh, sounds like we might have lost them.
I couldn't tell if they just clicked on or not, but someone was saying hello, and then I tried to get them to respond. But.
Welcome to the chaos of modern technology, one of the sources of anxiety for people, isn't it? Are you there? Can you hear me now? We're currently being recorded, just for that if you are on the call to know, your questions are welcome, your stories are welcome, just know that this is being recorded. And if you have questions or stories that you want to share offline, you can always email those to me. Do a little introduction here first. My name is Sheva, and my email is S-H-E-V like Victor A, at Sierra, F like fun, Y-E-R-A.com. So if questions come up that you don't want to share on the recording, please feel free to email those or call me, 310-581-1507. We'd be happy to get those answered for you. In this day and age of modern technology, there we are with dropped calls, recordings, and muting, and it's one of the things that we make note of the workshops that I teach here at Sierra, which we'll talk about in a moment, is that we are bombarded now by so much technology and so much more information than we were designed to process originally. What does that mean, designed to process? Well, let's just put it like this. When I popped out of my mother, cell phones and internet didn't exist, and I'm not that old. So that means that the normal ways that a species is adapting to change, we haven't had time to go through that normal mutation process. And so as a result, we're having to respond to things that maybe our bodies weren't designed to respond to. And that's really getting to the heart and the essence of tonight's call about how to deal with anxiety and where does anxiety come from. Dealing with these modern technological issues is a piece of that puzzle. And we'll put together, hopefully, if not the whole puzzle, at least the borders, so that you can start to look at the picture on the puzzle box of the anxiety question as well as your own life and say, oh, I see what that picture is now. It's starting to make sense, and I think I could actually put this together. Not only put it together, but put it together in a way that enhances my own sense of well-being as I move through my life, enhances my relationships, enhances the things that are most important to me, my sense of purpose, my health, my well-being, my performance, my directional flow, my job, and the way that I interact with people that I love. So I'm Sheva, as I mentioned, and I'm the CEO of a company called Sierra. Sierra is a word that we invented because I looked at our lifestyle and I saw lots of words for describing having a rotten day. Words like stress that were being constantly used in our vernacular. So much so that I would even go into volunteer in a kindergarten classroom and have little kids coming up to me and saying, I'm stressed today. And when I saw that happening, I said, you know, the first step in the beginning was the word. I said, the first step towards creating a cultural shift that's not oriented around stress is to have a new language that defines what it is. What's the opposite of stress? How would we even describe the opposite of stress? How would you describe the opposite of anxiety, the opposite of depression? I read recently that 1 in 3 women in Canada is on an antidepressant medication, and that 1 in 7 people, including children in the U.S., is taking some kind of mood-altering drug, whether it's for ADD and ADHD or anti-anxiety medication. I thought, wow, we want a culture that's absent or at least minimizing our anxiety, our depression, our stress. And yet, what do you say? Oh, well, I had a great day. I had a good day. It doesn't really capture the full feeling that I feel when I'm not stressed, which is truly aligned with myself, full of vitality and energy, passion and enthusiasm. But not only that, in better health by virtue of that, and now we have science that we're going to talk about today that explains why that is. What's the connection between feeling alive, passionate, vital, and the impact that has on my health and the way my brain works, that I actually perform better at whatever I'm doing, that I get along with other people easier, not only get along with them, but love them. Well, did I say that word? That all of that seems to, it's almost like as black and white as one day I can get up and it's a good hair day and everything else goes right. And another day I get up and suddenly I look like one of the little rascals with hair sticking out of the top of my head and everything's off kilter. And we have lots of words to describe the off-kilter days, but what about the days when everything clicks? Those moments that we live for, where your heart comes alive, where you feel things and know things without knowing how you know. There's just this intuitive yes that says yes to life in a very practical, tangible way that makes you more available to others, possibly even to be of service to something larger than yourself. So the word that we created for that was Fiera, the opposite of stress. And what we do at Fiera is train people how to reach those feel-great feelings no matter what's going on around them. So even when you wake up and you have alfalfa hairdo, that you can still find that place where life is in sync and you're in sync with yourself. It turns out there's a whole science behind this, developed by a place that's licensed us to teach their research as well as the tools they've developed called the Institute of Heart Math. And that those feel-great states that are the opposite of anxiety, the opposite of stress, have something to do with the heart. There's an access code, a unique intelligence in the heart, that when we know how to access that intelligence, liberates our choice to get in sync, to know without knowing how we know, to feel good anywhere, anytime, in spite of circumstances. So today's call, these Heart Start to Your Weeks calls, are really a gift that we created at Fiera, part of our mission to bring literally more Fiera into the world, an oasis of positivity where people can come and hear inspiring stories about Fiera, the feeling, and gain some scientific knowledge, some experiential insight, and some practical how-tos on how they can have more of that in their lives, how you could feel better more often and bring that to the people that you care about. So on the very first Heart Start call, a client of ours labeled it an oasis of positivity, and that's kind of stuck as the nickname for these Heart Start calls. First and foremost, it would be my intention that that's what tonight serves for you, as an oasis of positivity. And so I encourage you, if you have questions, you can email me during the call and I can receive those and respond to them. Or you can also unmute your phone by pressing *6 again and asking your questions, telling your stories. It's really, tonight is definitely for you. When I teach the beginner heart math workshop, one of the first things I do, and you can do this listening to the call right now, I say, point to yourself. Now, this is a phone call, so I'm not looking at any of you, but I would gather that none of you are pointing at your big toe, and none of you are pointing at your nose or your earlobe. That, in fact, the vast majority of people from any culture, when you ask them to point to themselves, automatically point to the heart, to the chest area. That there's some intuitive sense that this is who and where I am. It was very interesting. I was in a meeting earlier today with a group of artists and scientists. And one of the scientists was telling me about the evolution of the heart, saying that the heart, in the evolutionary scheme of things, actually came before the head. In other words, that single-celled organisms had a pulse to them before the actual eyes, brain, all these sort of additional things that we created or added to our Google house, if you will, or as we kept remodeling, were designed to help the heart move around the world, to help it perceive things. At a certain point, Western science got very fascinated with the brain and how that works. But it is true that the heart is the first organ to form in the fetus. And the brain actually grows up and out of the heart. Scientists still don't know what initiates the first heartbeat. So, as you can probably hear, I'm madly in love with the heart itself. And there's endless fascinating things, little facts about it. For example, no mechanical engineer has ever been able to replicate the efficiency of the heart muscle, in that the power output that it exudes is far greater than the energy that it ever takes in. So there's just something remarkable about this thing in us that operates for a good 80 to 90 years, rarely, although our cardiologist might beg to differ, needing cleaning or repair, although the cardiologist is who you're going to want to see when it does. It never stops to say, I need
Hello,
a rest.
This is Claire.
Hey, Claire, welcome. So we're just talking about the heart to start on the Heart Start call, Claire. Wonderful to hear your voice. I'd love to catch up with you later. It's one of my favorite things about these Heart Start calls is I get reunited sometimes with people I haven't spoken with in years. So I hope you'll hang tight at the end here, Claire, so I can.
I'll join another conference another time, but I'll have to leave at a few minutes before 6, I'll have to hang up.
Okay, well, I'll look forward to it. I'm so delighted to hear from you. If you fear that there'll be background noise there for you, Claire, you can always press *6.
Okay.
And that will mute your phone. I'm just talking about some of the amazing facts about the heart itself. And so the heart provides some keys through this modern research that scientists at HeartMath and some others have done to not only solving mechanical problems, but also solving our personal and global issues through this unique intelligence that's there. And tonight we're going to focus in on the issue of anxiety and how the heart can help us resolve our own anxiety and what role the heart might play in anxiety itself. And so it's always humorous to me. You know, people ask me, I've been working with HeartMath research for 13 years and obviously teach and train HeartMath. So you never, ever get anxious anymore, right, Sheva? And you never get depressed. And I have to laugh. It's not that at all. Today, in fact, I was using my HeartMath tools in a very anxious situation, and I'll share more about that. So it's not that life is going to stop happening, but once we gain access to the power of our hearts, it means that we have a whole other way that we can respond to the challenges that life brings our way. And so I'm very excited to share with you a little morsel of the science and physiology of what it is to feel great, the science and physiology of stress, what role the unique qualities of the heart play within that, and what that means practically for you about step-by-step processes you could start using in your life right now to feel better. There's 20 years of research, at least, behind what the Institute of HeartMath and the HeartMath Company have created, and 13 years of personal experience on my side with all of this. It's a big body of knowledge. So in an hour-long call, I'm not, as I said, going to be able to paint for you the whole picture of the puzzle that's being put together. But I can give you at least some of the edges. And then if you want more, for sure, at the end of this call, I'll also let you know where you can find me or HeartMath to be able to get more. So why don't we start in the heart? Just take a moment and focus your attention on that area where so many people, if you ask them to point to themselves, point, the area around your chest. And focus your attention on the area around your chest. And just maintain your focus of attention there as you let the breath come in and out through the area around the heart. And as you do that, I just invite you to connect with someone or something that you really appreciate. And breathe that feeling of gratitude in through the area around the heart and out through the area around the heart. Now, for those of you who are listening right now and participating in that and just did that breath of gratitude, if we had you hooked up to a heart rhythm monitor, we would see something very interesting to me anyway. We would see, before we began that exercise, that an average person's heart rhythm makes sort of a chaotic line on a graph. And as you shifted your focus of attention to the area around your heart and took that breath of gratitude in through the area around the heart and out through the area around the heart, we would have seen that chaotic line on the graph dramatically change to an ordered, even sine curve, an ordered, even rhythm, a predictable rhythm. Well, that's all well and good, you might say, but so what? Well, turns out in your body, the heart has a very key role in that if you take a bunch of pendulum clocks and set them all going at different rates, they will synchronize to each other on their own. Anybody know this? It's called entrainment. Principle in physics where if you take any electrical oscillators and set them going at different frequencies and then you walk out of the room and they're all in a sphere of influence of one another electromagnetically, they'll synchronize to each other on their own. And the clock that they all sync up to is the biggest one. Let's go back to that nice even rhythm that happens in your own heart when you're feeling good, when you're in a state of gratitude. It turns out that that even rhythm is then communicated to all the rest of your body systems. Because the heart, with each heart cell its own battery, is the biggest electrical oscillator. It's the biggest pendulum in your body. So when it's communicating this even rhythm, this ordered pattern, it brings order to all the rest of you, or at least a very high percentage. It brings order to your nervous system. That's very key when we're talking about issues of anxiety, which we'll look at specifically in a moment. It brings order to your hormones, also very key when we're talking about issues of anxiety. It brings order among the sense perceptions and the brain function. Not only bringing order there, but communicating to the brain, hey, you know what? Life is pretty good right now. We're safe. Don't really need to run from any tigers or punch any pterodactyls. I think we could just take a nice slow walk through the woods and examine the genus and species of the flora and fauna. We can afford to use our higher brain function, in other words, our discerning faculties. So creating an order in the heart rhythm not only brings heart health, but it brings health to at least 97% of the, or I should say balance and order to 97% of the body's functioning. Now, if we look at the role that anxiety plays in this picture, I want everyone, I'm laughing because I'm going to invite you to think about or recall to memory the last time you felt anxious about something. And for me, it's not far away at all. It was in a meeting that I had earlier today. Right before this Heart Start call, I received a phone call, and I instantly felt high anxiety. Of course, right? I'm about to teach a class about anxiety. Perfect. So think back to a moment when you felt high anxiety or even middling anxiety, butterflies in your stomach, or notice. Take a moment and notice. If you have a pen and paper, just for fun, jot down what happens in your body when you feel anxious. For me, since I was my own test subject, I can share with you that my palms started to sweat. That tells me my sympathetic nervous system is kicking in. What happens to your heart when you feel anxious? Mine started to race. And my mouth got dry. Sometimes if it's very high anxiety, like a panic attack, there will be a sense of pressure in the chest, like you can't get a full breath in. Anxiety could be one form of what I would call the stress reaction. And so what I like to do when I'm working with people who suffer from a lot of anxiety is ask them, well, when would it be useful to feel your heart race? When would it be a good idea to have your palms sweat, to have your chest compress? And, of course, by this time, they're looking at me like, you expect me to write you a check for this session? It's never a good idea. I hate this experience. It's a nightmare. But if we pause for a moment and see that everything about us, this is one of the things I love about learning from and teaching the power of the heart, is that everything about us is designed with so much intelligence, that there's an intelligent purpose behind all of our reactions, including anxiety. So when would it be a good idea to have your chest caving in, your palms sweating, your mouth dry, butterflies in your stomach, feeling like you have to run to the bathroom? Whatever your anxiety reactions are, your brain shuts down. We know that, right? You get that nice furrowed brow, this big valley of wrinkles that show up right between the eyebrows. What you're looking at there is the surface vision of what's going on internally, which is the higher lobes of the brain shut down when we're in an anxious reaction. Why is that a good idea? Well, it turns out that that's a good idea if your life is in immediate danger, like a prey-predator situation. Like, let's say you have the saber-toothed tiger chasing you. Well, in that situation, the butterflies that you feel in your stomach, which is a sign that your body's releasing adrenaline and cortisol into your system, are going to help you run fast, clot quickly in case the tiger gets a bite out of you, so you don't bleed to death. Similarly, the sweaty palms, the brain shutting down. What? Okay, how about the chest compression? Obviously, it's a great idea if you need to protect your internal organs that your body compresses to protect them in the case of an attack. Or if you reach an impasse in the jungle, and the tiger's on your tail, you don't want to necessarily pull out a map or get out your laptop to go on MapQuest and see, well, which way should I take to beat traffic and which way should I go in order to make sure that I pass a Starbucks and a Borders Books on the way. By that time, you're lunch meat. So you don't want to take the time to think about how to get away from a tiger when he's chasing you. You just want to go. And so for your survival, as part of your survival intelligence, your brain shuts down when you have an anxiety response. Because your body's conditioned to receive the message of anxiety as an immediate life-threatening warning signal. That is all well and good when we lived on the prairies and in caves and were hunter-gatherers for a living. Try it now when you are in a business negotiation. Or for you, Joan, as a doctor, needing to make truly, at times, life or death assessments, but you need your higher brain function to make those assessments. You need your years of medical training and knowledge at your fingertips, at your brain tip, to be able to know what's going on there. I have to do a sound check here. Can you guys still hear me?
Yep.
Everybody's probably on mute and can't tell me. You can still hear me?
Yep.
Okay, thank you. I appreciate that.
Oops.
So, every once in a while I have this very obnoxious call waiting, speaking of technology, that will bump me off my own teleclasses. So I've been known to just keep talking and keep talking, and I'm no one's there anymore. So that brings back in, my telephone just did this for us, the technology piece. You see, we're being asked now to respond to lots of different things that aren't immediate life threats. Things like exams, tests, business negotiations, complex relationship issues, all things which require verbal communication skills, which require us to stay clear mentally, emotionally, and physically. Traffic, for that matter. So when I work with people who have anxiety, very often they don't even know what's triggered their sense of anxiety. Anxiety, by definition, tends to be an unexplained emotion, a disquieted sensation, and we don't know what the source of it is. So my clients and students are very relieved to find out that your anxiety sometimes just comes from living a normal life but reacting to it as if you're still in the jungle. And so your body is pumping what we would call stress chemistry into your system, cortisol, adrenaline, preparing you for an attack that never comes. And so you're sitting in your car getting ready to run from the tiger because you're late for a meeting, and your shoulders are going up and up over your ears as the ice cream truck and the woman on the bicycle and this and that gets in your way. And none of those things are literally life-threatening. But they release hormones, nervous system reactions, brain responses that, from our body's point of view, would be the same reactions that we had in the jungle. And so then we get to our appointment and wonder why we're shaking and on edge. In other words, our bodies haven't had time to catch up with technology and our modern lifestyle. And the heart is directly impacted by that, and a direct access code to download and upgrade for that old software system. We know the heart's impacted by our anxiety because someone who's on the call, tell me, what happens to your heart when you feel anxious? If you have to press star 6 to unmute, go ahead. What happens to your heart when you feel anxious?
Maybe speeds up.
Yes, exactly. It speeds up and it becomes erratic.
Mm-hmm.
Well, knowing what you already know from this call, when the heart becomes erratic, what happens to the rest of you?
The rest becomes disorganized.
Exactly. The rest becomes erratic. So then your eyeballs are going one way, your baby toes going another, you drop your keys down the carburetor, and you spill your coffee on your thigh because you're completely disordered or out of sync. Which then, is that going to help you relieve your anxiety? You feel better after all that happens, right?
Mm-hmm. No.
So you get into a vicious downward spiral because, oh, you just burned yourself. Ah, now your body's really telling you it's in pain. So suddenly, oh, damn, you dropped the keys down. Now you're going to be late for work because the keys got all garbled in the carburetor. And so you can get into a vicious spiral of incoherent or chaotic reactions leading to further chaotic responses and perceptions that amplify the anxiety. Is anybody feeling peaceful now? The good news is there's a virtuous spiral. And just as the anxious feelings communicated chaos to the heart rhythm, similarly, we can, by choice, get on the virtuous spiral where we respond to challenging life events with greater ease or clarity or fiera, that feel-good feeling in your heart. Then we perceive things more accurately, respond more effectively, get better outcomes, feel better from those outcomes, and then we're on a self-perpetuating, yummy-making machine. I would get in trouble for saying it that way, but that's how it feels to me. It gets better and better and better. Is anybody interested in how to do that?
Mm-hmm.
Feelings are the key. It starts with feelings because it's obviously not circumstances. Circumstances are misfiring signals to an old survival system. So the place where we have power to interrupt that process is in how we choose to feel. Now, most people think that feelings happen to them. Like we're, you know, going along through our day and just like the weather happens, feelings happen. In fact, what we learn through heart intelligence and the power of the tools that HeartMath has given us is that we can choose how to feel. Not right away, it takes training, but our feeling is actually coming from this intricate dance of the heart rhythm with the rest of us that gives us a subjective feeling of a situation. So that as we learn how to lead feelings rather than being led by them, it changes how we see what's happening around us, which changes our responses, and that's our point of power. Viktor Frankl, who was in, I don't know if you guys who are listening to the call are familiar with Viktor Frankl. He was in the Nazi concentration camps. I believe he spent a significant amount of time in Auschwitz, one of the few survivors, and who actually recorded his experience there. And one of the things that he said when he came out of Auschwitz, he wrote an incredible book, I believe it's called Man's Search for Meaning, about his attitudes while in the camp. That he would be in situations and be determined to sit with something until he could see beauty in it. He made a commitment with himself to see beauty in everything and everyone. Now, I would certainly feel a lot of anxiety, I think, living in a concentration camp. He's a phenomenal human being, and fortunately most of us are not placed in circumstances that severe But one of the things that Viktor Frankl said is that the last of the human freedoms, the freedom that nothing and no one can take away, is the freedom to choose one's attitude towards whatever happens in life. The freedom to make that choice, however, I've found, requires a working step-by-step knowledge of how your body works. Viktor Frankl did it by sheer force of his will, with the knowledge of heart rhythms and how they become disordered in, let's say, an anxiety response or what we would call a reactionary emotion of any sort, and how the heart rhythm becomes ordered when you're able to access that feel-great feeling that we're capturing with the word Sierra, whether it's a feeling of peace or gratitude or exuberance and exhilaration or joy or love, any dimension of, there's a full spectrum of positive feeling states that generate this ordered rhythm in the heart. That then ends up changing literally how we feel, not just conceptually, but all the way down to our bones, cellularly, in our bodies. And that can be a choice, a moment-to-moment choice, that then, because of its impact on brain function, changes how we see what we're looking at. So, needless to say, doing a call on anxiety is pretty appropriate for me because I had severe anxiety both growing up as a child, mostly intense performance anxiety, so much so that my parents medicated me for it when I was young. And I was an actress, a dancer, and I would get such anxiety before tests that I would stay up all night long sobbing whenever I had a test. The sad thing about that is it's amazing that I passed any of them because knowing what you now know from this call, what was I doing to my brain all night long before I was taking a test? Anybody? Press star 6 if you need to get out of mute. Or maybe everybody's muted. Are you still there, Claire?
Yes.
So what was happening to my brain the night before a test when I was feeling anxiety and would keep myself up all night crying in my anxiety about taking the test?
You were shutting it down.
Yes, I was shutting it down. Now, what was probably, aside from my hand that was holding the pencil, the one aspect of my physiology that I most needed to take that test effectively?
The brain.
My brain! And I proceeded systematically every time I had a test to do everything in my power to shut it down. Now, that's just one example, kids taking tests or doctors and taking tests. I really came to HeartMath during partly out of stress-taking test. That's an interesting word. Let's see if I can combine stress and test. I must be shutting my brain down right now as we speak, just remembering it. And that's one of the interesting things. You know, HeartMath research has shown us that 5 minutes of remembering an anxious or angry event will have the same impact on your physiology. You don't even have to be in it. That's the good news. It seems daunting, but guess what? It's good news because it works the other way too. 5 minutes of sincerely appreciating something or being enthusiastic about something. 5 minutes of ordered feeling states, coherent states, produce all the same benefits as actually being engaged in life feeling that. So now you can imagine when I have to take board review tests and things like that for my medical licenses. Do you think that I cry all night long to prepare for them?
Hope not.
No, because I know that's going to shut down my brain. So what I do instead is a heart math tool that we call a heart lock-in. It's much more efficient. I don't have to stay up all night long to do this one. I actually get to sleep as well as prepare by taking 5 to 10 minutes to do a very specific process to bring that order into my heart rhythm. There's some interesting research now out that is very in sync with Chinese medicine, which, by the way, has always put the mind or the intelligence in the heart, which shows that there's a significant amount of memory in the heart itself. When I finally did take my board exams and had the heart math tools at my fingertips, as I hit each question that I didn't know on my exam, I used a heart math tool called freeze frame. And rather than going into my normal anxiety response, as I would have when I was a child, completely paralyzing myself and looking at this blank piece of paper with a blank mind to match it, now when I would hit a question that I didn't know, I would drop my attention into my heart, practice the steps of the freeze frame tool, and intuitively know the answer. Now I understand from this research I just read that I was accessing the memory in the heart. So if we were to summarize what's being said here, modern issues require new strategies of response. Part of our collective anxiety and why so many of us are being medicated for that is that our bodies are habitually responding through their conditioning to modern issues as if they are ancient life-threatening situations. The irony is that in reacting that way, now this is off record, this is Sheva talking, not heart math, but I feel that in reacting that way, in reacting to our day-to-day lives as if our lives are at stake, is creating a world in which we are in greater and greater danger, literally, because of the choices we're making in our foreign policy, in our way of relating to each other over bare necessities like energy and oil and water. We're not using a larger intelligence that's right here and available to us, an intelligence that could answer questions on a test, that could resolve questions about how we're going to pay the rent, that could diagnose a strange condition. When we're reacting to these interactions with others from a survival software system that's situation inappropriate, that's antiquated, it doesn't fit anymore. We're literally like my old dial-up with the corded receiver telephone trying to dial up internet as if it was an iPhone. It's not working. We're out of sync with our modern lifestyle. And the power to come into harmonious relationship with that and reduce and alleviate our anxiety almost immediately lies within this simple process to create, literally in a heartbeat, an ordered rhythm in the heart that communicates order to the rest of us and makes us an influence of order in our world. I want to open up the call for a moment, and this, we have about 10 minutes left, in case there are any questions or any personal stories that people want to share. Before I do, I just want to leave a word of encouragement to someone who's listening to the call, either having dialed in or someone who may be listening to this as a download later. I want to leave you with some hope, because I've seen countless people learn, even in just one or two or three sessions, very simple process and the power of the heart to deal with their anxiety attacks and be able to make a huge shift in how they feel. One of them was actually going to come on and share her story on the call tonight, and she actually got tied up in another meeting, so she was unable to make it. But she hadn't even come to me for anxiety. She was coming to me representing some youth that she works with and interested in heart math for that. And so she had a half-day workshop with me learning the very basics that we teach in the beginner class, some of the science that you guys have learned tonight, the first set of three or four tools that we teach, and she took away with her little biofeedback software called the M-Wave, which reflects heart rhythms in real time. So you get to see, is it ordered, is it disordered? Little visual cues that help you find what that order feels like in your system, since so many of us, certainly when I came to HeartMath, had never experienced that level of order. So it gave me, that biofeedback technology gave me a new reference point for experiencing that. So that was what she had, just the very, very basics. She called me a week later and she said, Sheva, what did you teach me how to do? You won't believe this. She'd been in some very stressful negotiations with some unions that she's involved in, and very difficult, delicate situations that she's navigating with large numbers of people, all focusing attention on her. And she came home from work that day and laid down on the couch, and literally, she's young. She's like 28, I think, maybe 30, mid-30s. Thought that she was dying of a heart attack. Her chest seized. She felt the tightness, the pressure in her chest that we talked about earlier. Her palms were sweating. She couldn't get a full breath in. And she called her boyfriend over to call 911, but he was afraid to leave her side to go to the phone. And so in that moment, she remembered, oh, yeah, that crazy chick with the red hair. She taught me something. She looked for her M-Wave and realized she'd left the biofeedback technology in the car, so she didn't even have that with her. But she had her heart. She had the tools. And so she applied just the very first tool that we teach in the beginner class. And she did that for just a couple of minutes, and she said, Sheva, what was that? All my symptoms went away. She went to work the next day and told her boss what had happened. He said, how did you do that? He said, I think you were having a panic attack. He said, I've had that experience, but I had to go to the emergency room because it lasted so long. How did you get it to go away so fast? So I wanted to share her story with you because I want to leave you with hope that there is a way to feel better, that that way is in you. It doesn't have to come even in the gizmo that we sell. She didn't have that with her. It's in you. It doesn't have to come in a bottle of pills. It doesn't have to come from outside of you in a phone conversation with someone that you trust. Because what happens when none of that's available to you? Like the Olympic athletes that I work with, they're not allowed to take drugs. Anxiety before they go to the Olympics? You bet they do. But they can't take medication for that. Bring anything with them to the track when they're getting ready for their event. All they have with them is themselves. Where did you point when we began this call? To yourself, your heart. The power to access peak performance, feeling good, feeling at peace. It's right there in you, in your very own heart. And so I thank you so much for joining me on the call tonight, and I'm going to open it up now if people have questions or stories of their own that they want to share. And if you are listening to this as a downloaded call, again, you could ask your questions by sending them to Sheva, S-H-E-V-A, at Fiera.com, F-Y-E-R-A.com, or calling 310-581-1507. And by the way, just to add one more thing, we've decided, because we really here, my priority is letting people know about the incredible benefit and power that lies within them. So the very beginning of the beginner heart math class, we're now opening up as a gift. And the next one starts on July 17th. So if any of you are interested in registering for that free class, you're very welcome to do that, and then you'll learn what this young woman did in the middle of her panic attack. So I've talked a lot. I'm going to be quiet now and see, do any of you have any questions or stories that you want to share? Some of you have experience with the tools who are on the call. And make sure if you do that you press star 6 so that we're hearing you.
Well, I suppose I'll just say that I use it quite often.
Is that Miss Joan?
It is. It is.
You want to share any of the specifics on that? That would be great, Joan.
Yeah, it's something that I like to use with people, regardless of whether they have heart disease. Sometimes I see people that are
just for that recording, I'll let people know because we weren't recording when you introduced yourself.
Oh, yeah.
Joan is a cardiologist. Yeah.
Yeah, I am a cardiologist in Hawaii, actually, and so sometimes I'll be referred patients who end up either having no disease, and it is truly panic attacks, or disease but minor and in need of more prevention than treatment. And part of the primary prevention of coronary disease is to minimize the effects of stress, and giving pills really actually is not a good way to minimize stress. That's actually a very bad way to do it. The stress remains, and you just learn to tolerate the physical symptoms longer until it finally catches up with you. So I actually prescribe heart math a good deal of the time to people and have had amazing results, not just at minimizing stress, but also actually getting rid of high blood pressure.
Mm-hmm. All of which can also create a subjective feeling of anxiety, right? If you have high blood pressure, it can make you feel uneasy in your own skin.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it's a great tool.
Well, I so appreciate you joining the call tonight, Joan, and maybe one Heart Start night we should just interview you. I'm sure you have a wealth of...
Oh, there goes my anxiety.
Well, you know what to do with it.
That's right.
Yeah, I think it's one of the things I love so much about what HeartMath has given us in their body of research and their tools is there's a lot of new age out there that knows there's a link between our health and our emotions. And so what ends up happening is people blame themselves then for their hypertension or their cancer. Oh, well, I must be doing this to myself. See, it's how I feel. Or worse, they blame each other.
Yeah.
And the other side of that coin is when there's genuine physical stuff going on and doctors say, you know what, it's your emotions. Here, take an antidepressant.
Yeah.
And then we're like, well, Yeah, but on either side of that equation, it's like, yes, we get it. There's a link between emotions and physicality and health. But rather than just numb emotions with pills or, treat the physical and blame ourselves for it, what if we just had a simple way to adjust our emotions and benefit our health in the process?
Amen.
Yeah.
The real power behind it. And that's what HeartMath has done. It's created that bridge of here's the physiology, and if you're going to feel better emotionally, you got to know how the body's working. And here's the emotions, and if you're going to feel better physically, you've got to include them in the process. And it's got to be easy because it's got to be something everybody can do because guess what? Everybody has a body. And last time I checked, most people had emotions, whether they're aware of them or not.
Yeah.
So. And there is a book, by the way, for those listening who have hypertension, HeartMath just came out with a book, which you can get on my website, Sierra.com, or also the HeartMath website, HeartMath.com, on managing hypertension using the HeartMath technology and techniques. Very well written by a cardiologist, Dr. Bruce Wilson, and the founder of HeartMath, Doc Childre.
Yeah.
So thank you for that input, Joan. I appreciate it.
No problem. And I'm going to sign off now and get back to work. Thank you so much.
Have a great night. Thank you for all you're doing for people's hearts out there.
You bet.
Anybody have questions or comments before we close up the call for tonight?
No, thank you.
Thank you so much. Thank you, everybody. It was great having you here, and I look forward to next week's Heart Start call, same time, same number. Good night, everyone.
Goodbye, Sheva.
Bye-bye.
Au revoir.
Bye.
Au revoir,
great,
madame.
Great call.
Sheva.
Thank you.
Sheva?
Yes?
Can I ask you quick, do you know about Friday yet?
We are working on that. I will know by the end of the night. So what's the latest that I can call you?
Oh, it's fine. I can find out tomorrow as well. I think I'm going to be here, so.
Perfect. Yeah, we'll know by the end of tonight.
Okay, great.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Sheva, 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 Sheva. Ah.